What beautiful readings and wisdom-filled readings we have this Sunday for our sacred liturgy. The first reading in particular from the Book of Wisdom, one of the sapiential books from the Old Testament. Of course, that's important that we realize that we use a lot of things from the Old Testament because some of the heretics have gotten rid of the Old Testament, or most of it, beginning with, in the second century, Marcion, the Gnostic. But the church condemned him, and so did the fathers of the church later on, though not at the same time. Of course, the first of all is the Holy Father and the councils, but also saints such as the great St. Ambrose of Milan and St. Augustine of Hippo condemned them because they tried to do away with that which was the preparation for the New Testament, the preparation for that which we now enjoy and which we receive in these sacred mysteries, especially in the mystery of the Most Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So, our Lord answers them way ahead of time, hundreds of years ahead of time. Who can know God's counsel? Who can conceive what the Lord intends? A lot of people, they say, this is this and this is that, and they don't ever sit down and listen and pray and listen to what God really says. And our Lord says to them, the deliberations of mortal beings are timid and unsure. And such are our plans. Our plans that we make without God are unsure. They have nowhere to stand. They have no foundation. And of course we see the reality that the church has always transmitted to us. The corruptible body, this body, which has its many problems and its temptations, and it also has the problems of aging and sickness and finally death. The corruptible body burdens the soul. The soul cannot do everything it wants to do because the body will not allow it to do it. But the soul has to overcome the earthen shelter. This shelter, our body, weighs down the mind, and it has many concerns. Of course, our mind, burdened by the body, has many concerns. And of course, we see that in the Gospel, our Lord quotes this. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? And he says, the lilies of the field do not work, yet they are clothed in glory. And scarce we guess the things on earth, that what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Of course, we don't know what's in heaven at this point yet. We have some idea. We certainly have not felt that. We still feel the burden of our body and of our soul that is burdened by our body. And so, this ends with something very wonderful, very wise. Whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high. And indeed, it is through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who has been given to us at Pentecost and is now in charge of our spiritual life, that we realize, that we learn, and that we are able to meditate and grow in the true spiritual life which is ours to be had, that leads to heaven. And so we see a similar idea in the epistle of St. Paul to St. Philemon. And here it has some beautiful ideas which have always been part and parcel of the Catholic spiritual life. I, Paul, and I don't think the original says, I'm an old man. It doesn't say that at all. A weak man. And now a prisoner for Christ. And indeed, he was on his way to death. He had been captured. He had been condemned to death. He was on his way to Rome. And then he was in Rome in the Mamertine prison, which is still there, about 20 feet underground, with only a hole through which the water and food was thrown at them. It was not given on a silver platter. They had to suffer. And here he speaks about the fact that he is now a prisoner. And he says, I urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus. Onesimus, we had his feast day recently, one of the saints of the New Testament, who was converted by St. Paul and St. Peter. He says, whose father I have become, spiritual fatherhood. And then, you know, the heretics say, why do you call your clergyman father? There is only one father in heaven. Here St. Paul is saying it. Our Lord says it in other places. Whose father I have become in my imprisonment. Him I am sending to you, so that he may serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But he wants to make sure that they understand what he is doing. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while. He was away from them, because he was with Paul. But that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, because he was a slave. He was free. And St. Paul convinced his master to set him free. St. Onesimus. He is now my son, my brother, beloved especially to me. But he should be even more beloved to you. So, we have these wonderful ideas that are given to us in this very wonderful day, the first Saturday of the month, the day in which we are called to honor the Mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in which we are asked to go to confession, go to communion, say the rosary, do other sacrifices, just as St. Onesimus and St. Paul and St. Philemon did. They're still in the first generation, but already is beginning to turn into the second generation after Christ. And our Lord is very, very clear. And it's just something that few people have ever understood. And they say, how can he say such a thing? Our Lord is very clear. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and his mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even himself, he cannot be my disciple. Very clear. There is no, well, maybe, maybe not. That's not what he says. He says, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his cross cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on with this parable about the tower, which of course we certainly know here well, because we are not going to build a tower until we know for sure that we have the money. And I was mentioning that to the bishop the other day. We are still waiting. I am still waiting. When are you going to give us the permission to build the bell tower? Now, we have most of the money, not all of the money, but it will not be used for anything else. And so, our Lord reminds us that we must renounce everything for Him. And the vestment which I'm wearing today, this is the first time I have worn it, is a gift from my two sons in the seminary. One who will be a priest in just a few months, the other one a few years. It speaks very much about the gospel of today. It is the great symbol of the Catholic faith, of the priesthood, the pelican. When her children are dying of starvation and of thirst, what does a pelican do? As we see, you shall see it again later when you see me. The pelican pierces her breast and feeds her children with her blood. They're not mammals, so they cannot give milk. But she feeds her children with her blood. And that is exactly what we who are priests need to do. If there's no other way to do it, then we need to do like the pelican. Pierce our breast and feed our children with our blood, with our suffering. The same thing as we see Christ do. We see His most sacred heart pierced. And we see the Immaculate Heart of Mary pierced by a sword. And thou thyself, a sword shall pierce thy soul. That the thoughts of many people shall be made known. If they follow thee, then we know they shall be disciples of Christ. If they don't, then they shall not. And so today, as we honor our Lord and our Lady, and we do so always, especially in these sacred mysteries of the Mass and the Eucharist, of the priesthood, we pray to our Lord and to our Lady to imbue in us the spirit of tremendous sacrifice and love, so that we too may, like Him, pierce our heart for the feeding of the children. And of course, many times, the children will not understand. If I could count the ones that have turned their back on me, people who just recently said, I love you, I love you, I love you, you are in my family, and then they turn their backs on me and stick a knife in my back, there's not enough that I could do to say. That's just the way it is. That is the pelican who pierces her breast for her children. And we need to accept it, and we need to accept it joyfully. That's what He says. He who does not renounce everything for me cannot be my disciple. So which are you? Are you ready to renounce everything and all persons, places, and things for the sake of Christ? And of course, what do you have to expect? You have eternal life. Life in Him, in our Lord and Savior. And this is the same faith, the same spirit, which the saints, especially I'm familiar with one, who are going to be canonized tomorrow, about whom you have heard from me for 30 years. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who is going to be canonized tomorrow, a great joy of my life. That is the way they lived. They follow Christ, and they give everything up for His sake. And so we too must pierce our own breast and feed the children with our blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.